Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we turn our attention to your word, we're so very thankful for the fact that you've provided it to us to give us your wisdom and guidance in our lives. We pray that you would bless this message to us and help us to understand and apply these things. And we thank you and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So we're in the middle of talking about this Hebrew word, yachal, last hour. And the fact that it has the concept of waiting, hoping, and expecting, having a waiting attitude, but that it is specifically goal-oriented. And now we're going to get on to the three major emphases of this word. First being, the number one emphasis of yachal is that it is object-oriented or goal-oriented. The second is, when there's no object mentioned, it refers to how long we must wait. And then the third, if there's no mention of an object or a goal, if there's no mention of how long we must wait, then it's the idea of just waiting. So this object of being goal-oriented or object-oriented is that the believer is waiting for the object of his faith, the thing that he's prayed for, the deliverance of the Lord. The thing desired and prayed for, the desired outcome of the situation that one finds himself in. The idea of how long, when there's no object or goal mentioned, it has the idea of the emphasis on the duration. How long that's going to take for whatever it is. And then this idea of just waiting. If there's no mention of an object, who or what you are specifically waiting for, and if there's no mention of a time duration, the time that you must wait, then the idea of just waiting becomes the primary issue. So this would be like, the goal-oriented would be like, Bill is waiting on the Lord. How long would be like, Bill waited 10 years. And then this last one, just waiting, would be the idea of Bill waited. So we see the shifting from waiting on the Lord, how long he had to wait, and then just waiting without either of those emphases. Now there are the subjective and objective ideas found in yachal as well. And subjectively, it looks at the hopeful waiting attitude of the believer. And objectively, it looks at what the believer is waiting for. The object, the outcome. Now, this is typically found in the PL stem. And if you remember what the PL stem is, P-I-E-L, it has the idea of intensity. So it ramps up the idea of this waiting, this goal-oriented waiting, this duration waiting. And while it's also found in the Hifel stem, which generally looks at adopting a hopeful waiting attitude. The This concept of adopting a waiting attitude is an incredibly important concept, especially for us in our Christian life. When yachal is found in the hifil stem, it's typically causative. And causative means that one is caused to do this, whether that is by the circumstances or our own, like, emphasis on our own souls. It designates an internal causative action, meaning that one causes himself to adopt or develop not only a waiting attitude, but one of expectancy. So this is expectant. Now, this is to say that the believer has geared himself up to wait on the Lord, but has also caused himself to expect God to come through for him. And he does this by faith, by looking at those promises that pertain to what he's going through. And how do we do this? By going over those promises, by going over the teachings from God's word. And yachal does mean to believe, to trust, to wait, to have a waiting attitude, and to expect, but it also tells us of the believer's responsibility to develop these mental attitudes within himself by disciplined practice of confessing one's sins to God, by prayer, by new nature operation, filling of the Holy Spirit, sitting under a biblical doctrinal ministry, going over the promises and doctrines of God, understanding and believing them. In fact, you'll find that both the PL and HIFL stem of yachal in the imperative mood, which makes them commands again. We're commanded by God not only to wait on him and expect him to come through for us, but also to adopt that waiting mental attitude. In Jeremiah 29:11, we read, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." It's promises like that, that when we really meditate on these things, that helps to generate that sense of hope within us. Now, all waiting confidently expects as its object something good. That's at Jeremiah 29:11. And obviously, faith and trust are inherent therein. And this concept of future good is the basis for our subjective hope. The promise is the object of hope, and our experiencing that and having that confidence inside is our subjective hope. But in waiting, sometimes the emphasis is on the object, God, and sometimes the thing desired, the deliverance or the particular thing we've prayed for. And sometimes it's on waiting for a certain period of time, whether known or unknown. And sometimes that emphasis is just on waiting, that surrender to whatever time frame God has, whatever God has to give to us or do for us. It doesn't matter because we know it will be good because it's coming from the most powerful being in the universe who loves and cares for us. And the waiting can be very intensive, but it's commanded. And the waiting can be causative, where the believer is caused to wait or causes himself to wait, whereas he has to adopt a waiting mental attitude. And being intensive, the 80s song from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers came to mind. The waiting is the hardest part. So to recap, yachal means to wait. In the majority of the cases, it tells us that one is waiting for something, a desired goal or outcome, or for God specifically. and as it properly should be. And when the object is, that's when the object is mentioned, say Yahweh, then the emphasis is waiting upon Him. And in the case when the time factor is the thing that one is waiting for, the thing it's, you know, whatever you're waiting for is not the issue, it's the time. And when an object is not mentioned, it's how long we wait. When neither are mentioned, neither time nor object, then developing that waiting mental attitude is the emphasis. The Hifil stem looks at the adopting a waiting attitude, as I went over before. The PL stem emphasizes that one is waiting on God and that it is intensive. The idea of faith, trust, endurance, hope, confidence, and expectation are all found in Yahal along with this waiting. You may be waiting for something, you may be waiting for some time, but you will always be waiting for God to give you the thing in His own time. And if we look at the Psalm 33:22, the psalmist looks at Yahweh to take care of him. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. And that is that Yachal. And here the emphasis is on waiting for God to come through. And then we have Psalm 119, verse 43. Do not snatch the word of trust from my mouth. The word of trust, or the word of truth. Your word of truth, that would be Bible doctrine, teachings of the Bible. For I have put my hope, my yachal, in your laws, or your judgments. And judgments look at the exercise of the divine will. As a king, God rules over his people. His decisions and judgments were based always upon his justice, that which is right and fair. And so it is with this young man who wrote this particular psalm. He realized that what was happening to him was part of God's divine judgments on the nation of Israel. But he also knew that he had hope because he was still alive. That gave him confidence that God still had a plan for his life, even though he was in a pretty miserable situation. So he had hope, Yachal, in his judgments. He was waiting for the conclusion of the whole matter. He knew it was not going to go on forever, but that God was going to bring it to an end. Therefore, he was waiting in hope for that end. In Psalm 119:49, he tells us that the word of God, doctrinal teaching, that had been given him, or that the word of God had given him hope. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. Again, he tells us that he had put his faith and hope in God's word. May they who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. That's Psalm 119, verse 74. Again, he tells us that this is how his soul faints with longing for Yahweh's deliverance, that one day he would be out of the situation and onto a good and better life. Verse 81. My soul faints with longing for your salvation or deliverance. I have put my hope in your word. Now, he was one of the thousands of deportees, the young, the bright people of Israel who were taken off to Babylon as captives. The young were suffering because of the sins and rebellion of the older generation. But God was sustaining them the positive believers by doctrine, and he had a life of blessing for them, but they would have to endure the hardship by faith. They would have to have hope during that time until they got through to the good life waiting for them on the other side, much like the young who suffer, or who are suffering in America today because of the sinfulness and selfishness and idolatry of the older generation. They too one day may have to go through some terrible ordeals or hardships like the young in the generation of Israel. But God's word will sustain them too. Again, his faith and hope were in God's word. Verse 147 reads, "You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word." Sorry, that's not 47. That one is 114. And then 147 says, "I rise before dawn and cry out for help. I have put my hope in your word." Now, in a departure from this idea, the scriptures also point out that believers can be given a false hope. That is, they will be waiting on one thing from God when he is not going to do anything like that at all. Most of the prophets in Israel were false prophets. They had not been authorized by God. He had not spoken to them, and he had not sent them. They were prophesying to Israel out of their own imaginations. Their prophecies were false. They gave Israel a false hope. Their faith and hope were in the wrong thing. Therefore, they had a false hope. The prophets were saying peace when there was not going to be any peace. Their visions are false. Their divinations are a lie. They say Yahweh declares when Yahweh has not sent them, yet they expect their words to be fulfilled. That's Ezekiel 13:6. And much like the false teachers today, saying peace when death and destruction and the Antichrist are right around the corner, or all of the Christians in the charismatic Christianity are giving people all sorts of false hope for their healings and their prophecies and all of that. You got Bethel up here platforming all of these charlatans that are leading people down primrose paths. Now Israel, the people of God, they're commanded to wait on Yahweh. His guiding, his providing, his protecting hand is to be their and our hope. And what we specifically what we expect when we're waiting. Psalm 130, verse 7. It reads, "O Israel, put your hope, your yachal, in Yahweh, for with Yahweh is unfailing grace, and with him is full redemption. O Israel, put your hope in Yahweh, both now and forever." There were times that Job did express that he trusted in the Lord and was waiting on him, that he did have a little hope. In Job 13:15, we read, "Though he slay me, yet I have hope in him." He waits on him in hope. "I will surely defend my ways to his face." And again in verse 14:14, he says, "If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my hard service I wait, Yachal, for my renewal to come." All of these are in the intensive PL stem, emphasizing that one is waiting for God to deliver him and that it's an intense process. The idea of faith, trust, endurance, hope, confidence, and expectation are there as one waits. And the psalmist, again, in Psalm 71:14, as the psalmist writes, "But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more." One develops this concept of faith, hope, and waiting by believing God's word. Now we switch over to that PL participle. And if you remember, a participle being the ongoing action, that would be our English words ending in ing, ing. This shows that the believer had adopted a waiting on Yahweh mental attitude as a way of life, which is very intensive. And for this example, we have Psalm 31:24. And it reads, "Be strong and take heart, all you who are waiting on Yahweh." These are also identified as being the faithful, the grace-oriented believers in verse 23. Psalm 33:18 tells us, "But the eyes of Yahweh are on those who fear him, on those on whose hope is his unfailing love." That concept of fearing God. That's the idea of having a healthy and humble reverence or respect and awe towards God. Some hear fear God and they think of like that concept of abject terror or something. And this fearing is that idea of reverence. And when it says that those who fear him, on whose hope is in his unfailing love, God's unfailing love, is the Hebrew word chesed. Which is his grace, his loving kindness, his unmerited, unearnable favor. Here we have these waiters on God defined as those who fear God. They are those believers who are not only oriented to God's grace, but are waiting for his grace to come through for them. And here we have the believer waiting on an attribute of God, his grace. And God's eyes are on that believer. The believer who is exposed to God's grace and learns about his grace begins to look for, count on, hope for, and even expect God's grace to help them in their time of need. They're waiting on it so much that it becomes a pattern in their way of life. They are waiters on God. And David said that he waited on God. "I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail, looking for or waiting on my God." And that's Psalm 69:3. And something else we're going to learn about this matter is that learning to wait on God, being oriented to his grace, loving his grace, waiting on his grace through faith, is that he delights in those believers who wait on him, who trust in him, who hope for his grace. We see that in Psalm 147:11. Yahweh delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his grace. This is an amazing thing, that God delights in those who are doctrinally oriented to the protocol system of God, the grace of God, on those who are waiting for God to bless them and do things for them in his grace. It is pleasing to God's essence. Remember that we're operating within the grace structure for blessing, whereby his justice is satisfied. Remember Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now we get to the hifil stem of Yahal, which is that idea of waiting. But it brings out the idea that the believer is caused to wait. Therefore, it develops a waiting mental attitude, or is caused to adopt that waiting mental attitude. In Psalm 38, David talks about the intense physical pain that he had been suffering. And apparently as a result of divine discipline over the sins that he had committed. It could have been that matter concerning Bathsheba, but either way, David had been the recipient of God's wrath, and it burned in him like a fever, causing both his body and his mind to be in deep distress. Forsaken by his friends, surrounded by his enemies, David was in bad shape, and it's intensified all the more by Yahweh's withdrawal from him. Yet the desire for not only healing, but restoration of fellowship with God shines through as evidence in his prayer. So David fights through this with faith, prayer, and the word. And he says in Psalm 38:15, "I wait for you, Yahweh. You will answer, O my God." The hifil stem of Yahal shows that David had adopted a waiting mental attitude, that his faith was towards God. And he knew that there was nothing that he could do about it in his own works and power. He was in a tremendous amount of pain and deep agony of soul, and no one could help him but God himself. And so he prayed to God. He knew that he had done wrong and that God was disciplining him because of it. He had confessed his sins to Yahweh, and now the only thing that he could do was wait upon the Lord to turn his wrath away from him. And so David has been caused to adopt a waiting mental attitude of faith. Due to the situation of his sin and divine discipline that came from it, God's sovereign decision in this matter, he had no other choice but to wait upon the Lord. But even though he's still waiting on the Lord, David says, "Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior." And that's in Psalm 38:22. Even though David knows that he will still have to wait upon the Lord, he still wants out of all of this as fast as he can. We'll go ahead and stop here, and next time Pastor's under the weather, we'll pick back up. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together around your word. We pray you bless our day and this message to us. We pray that you would just be in the forefront of our minds throughout each day this week, and we just thank you and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.